Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, you bitch. All right, welcome everybody. Sorry for the delay. We are a little behind because we couldn't connect, but we're here now.
Technical difficulties,
no big deal. We did a little bit of a reboot, and now we're back on. So we are live finally after a couple of weeks in Hamburg, New Jersey.
That's the new state.
It is my state. We are at Trinity Metaphysical Center in Hamburg, New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Jersey. And as of right now, it is just myself, Rodney, and Jackie, because Dana's on her way and she's coming from the city. I'm sure she's in traffic and she'll be here very, very soon. But it's good to be back. It's been a couple of weeks and it's October.
Yeah.
You know what that means.
We were in Virginia.
Yes, we were. We were in Virginia. For a wedding, which was very nice on Virginia Beach. It was beautiful.
Yep.
We had a great time. And
it was 90 down there.
90.
It was 30 degrees less than we got home the other day.
Yep. So today was probably one of the last hot days we have up here in Jersey. It was 88 or 89 at the peak of today, around 2 o'clock. And tomorrow we'll be in the 50s. And at night we'll be in the high 30s.
Yeah.
And the trees and the animals have no idea what the hell to do.
Oh, no.
Because they're so confused, you know. And yeah, I don't blame them. I get it. You know, it's supposed to be a subtle, you know, kind of a subtle drift into the fall season with the slowly cooling. You know, that's how the leaves fall slowly. And now we wake up after 3-4 days, we were gone, leaves are off the trees. They were all on the trees for the most part. We left, and it must have gotten chillier up here when we were gone, and they just shed the leaves.
Our tree was bald.
Our tree's gone bald.
When we got home.
But it does look cool, though, because all the pumpkins were getting out there now. The moms, you know, it's that time of year. We're slowly. I got some corn stalks up in the house. Very festive. It's looking good. Looking very good.
Yep. So today we're doing ghost stories. So we have
true
a lot of
ghost stories.
Yeah.
Real.
We have people who... They don't like being on air, but they shared their ghost stories to us so that we could also share them to the listeners. And if there's anybody out there that has a really cool story that they want to
call
in and share.
Anybody who has a true story that they have experienced themselves, please don't hesitate to call in. The number is 347-633-9648. That's 347-633-9648. Call in with your stories and let's chit chat. Let's talk about some paranormal. The veil is thinning. We're all starting to experience our psychic abilities are getting higher and higher. The best time of the year, in my opinion, is coming. It's the best. And let's talk about it. What do you got for us?
And it's October. So
October
it's
2nd.
Paranormal month.
Paranormal month. Yep. That's
so
what I was
all our
before.
Shows are based on the paranormal or something scary or we dabble into our aside from ghosts into the vampires and werewolves and zombies and all the cool stuff.
Everything. Yeah, we're not just biased against ghosts. We have a ghost trip. We talk about everything and anything paranormal.
Yes.
So true stories.
So what's your most favorite ghost story that you had
growing
up? Do you
have
any when you were little?
Yeah, nothing I can specifically remember. I remember certain – they were mostly in a half-in, half-out sleep. So some people might not count that. But, you know, we all know when we're half-in, half-out and we're going – for instance, if we're going astral, if we're going lucid, we tend to be more in that realm. So we'll be able to see and perceive more. Anytime I really experience things like that is when I remember being really young, and I remember having a point in my life when I was maybe 9, 10, 11 around there where I would have extreme sleep paralysis, and I would wake up quite often frozen in my body. Now, I wouldn't really necessarily leave my body at that age. This didn't start happening until later. But when it comes to being in sleep paralysis and the shadowy people in the room, that I remember. But there were really no faces on them. It was more like if you're sitting at a train station, people are just walking by. It was kind of like that, just shadowy figures walking back and forth through the walls and stuff. And it wasn't an every night thing. It was maybe a few times a year. And I remember it stopping completely and then starting up again. But I remember being frozen in my body and not being able to move and just seeing these shadowy things just flying by left and right until I finally step out of it. You know, you try to move, but you can't. You finally step out of it and they just go away. Later in my life is when I experienced a lot more physical, I'm awake walking around my house and I can physically see somebody. And when they recognize I can see them, they disappear. You know, but I'm sure you have a lot more vivid, you're medium, so you probably have a lot more detailed.
Well,
going back, can you remember your first one? Your second or third, maybe when it started happening to you?
I remember a couple, but for actual ones where I knew it was a ghost, I would say when I was maybe, I must have been maybe 7 or 8, that I remember, maybe it was a little younger, but I think it was around 7 or 8, where I would actually see, like, for some reason, like, my closet was, must have been a portal, but it seemed to be, no matter where, what room I was in, if there was a closet there, I would see random people. They looked like regular people, but they were a little bit see-through, so I knew they weren't like us. Like, I knew it was a ghost or something that in my head as a little kid was scary because it wasn't a solid person, but they didn't talk. So when I was really young, they didn't talk to me or say things to me. They would just show themselves to me, and then I'd see them going back and forth. And I think that's why I was so scared, because I didn't know how to communicate with them, you know, or like try to tap into them. It was scary to me. So that's probably the first. And I remember, I remember I would always crawl into my parents' big king-size bed, and I would literally just have the covers up to my eyeballs with my eyes wide open like saucers, staring at the closet, looking at the random people. And some of them looked, you know, I knew they were earthbound. I knew they were ones that hadn't crossed, because now I know that. Back then I didn't, but I do know now in retrospect why they appeared the way they did, and you know, that type of thing. I did have, you know, relatives and, you know, other people, loved ones come to me when I got older, and those I obviously recognized, so I knew who they were.
You know what that's interesting. It's crazy. No, it just popped. Now that I'm thinking back, you know, I don't normally go back and think, try to remember exactly when it started, but now that I'm doing that, I remember vividly. I would always have this feeling like somebody was right behind me. And I mean, this was for a few years when I was growing up through elementary up to middle school. I always had this weird, like, I'm always shrugging my shoulders because I thought someone was touching my back. And I remember having this dream that there was this shadowy spirit ghost that was following me around, but just needed a friend. And I never physically saw it. I never physically perceived anything, but I always felt the presence of something trying to, like, almost like tap me on the shoulder or you could tell that something's in your personal space. And I would always try to run away from it. I would try to, like, catch it off guard and try running up to, like, the driveway or something to, like, get away from it. But after a few seconds, I would slow down and I would feel the vibration again on my back. And I just couldn't shake it for a while. And eventually it just went away, I guess, because I just stopped acknowledging it. Mm-hmm. But I never actually tried to talk to anything. You know, I always just had that weird, eerie feeling that something was right next to me all the time.
Yeah.
Until I finally just one day, the feeling was gone. And I was like, oh, I'm alone again. I'm finally by myself. I mean, when I was playing outside of school, anytime I would always just—it was so weird.
Mm-hmm.
It was so weird. I don't even know what that could have been. Who that could have been?
It could be a loved one. It could be just you tapping into who's with you. You know,
I always had an invisible friend growing up that I would talk to, but I never actually saw an apparition or anything there.
Yeah.
But I always felt like I was talking to something. And it wasn't even the thing behind my back, the shadowy guy. It was just, I always felt like I wasn't alone, always.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of neat when we have, I mean, we've shared some of our stories throughout different, you know, random episodes, you know, of some of the experiences we've had. And, you know, we have new listeners, so sometimes we obviously repeat some of our stories. But
yeah.
I think one of the most, you know, I mentioned a while ago when I saw my father after he passed. And that was years after that. I actually saw the full-bodied apparition. But before that happened, right after he had passed away, it was maybe not even, it couldn't, oh my God, it wasn't long at all. It may be maybe a few months. And I told this story, and I remember when it happened that I got goosebumps at the time. And my son was 7, and he was sleeping, and it was about 2:33 in the morning. I was on the phone with one of my friends.
2:33.
Yeah, 2:33 in the morning. Mm. I was on the phone, and I was in my room, like, cleaning or doing something. And I remember him, I remember turning, my door was open. I remember turning around and him standing in the doorway with his eyes open. And he looked at me, and he just said, "Grandpa said to tell you he's okay." He said that. He turned around, walked back in his room, climbed back into bed, and was out sleeping cold.
This is
cold
the same person that denies it today?
In 2 seconds, huh?
Will he talk about it today? Will he deny it? Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't know if he remembers. He might. I don't know if he even remembered doing that. He's heard me tell that story, but I remember when it happened, I must have turned 15 shades of white, and I had somebody on the phone with me, so she says, "Did he just say what I think he said?" She goes, "My hair is standing up on my arm." And it was really just, you know, my dad coming through to let, you know, for him to pass the message to me, because when you're still mourning and when you're still emotionally, you still have things going on, it's really hard for you to get your own message. And I wasn't, you know, practicing my mediumship or anything back then, you know. You know, I had abilities, but I, like I said in my book, I kind of put them all, you know, to the side, and, you know, was raising my family, and, you know, yeah, I'd use my intuition, but it wasn't like I was doing it professionally at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that. I can still feel that as if it was yesterday.
Mm.
Just the way he wasn't, it was like he was a channel. He passed a message and went and remembered nothing and went right back to sleep and, you know, did his thing. And
yeah, I believe that. I do. I believe that too. The fact that he won't remember anything, like something just quick came over him and he just said it and then just forgot about it.
Mm. Oh yeah. They've told me lots of stories of, you know, cool stuff that they knew was in houses or that they communicated with and things like that. And I mean, we have some really cool stories of our own, but
yeah,
you know, always hear things. You know, I had a house once where when you were at, all the bedrooms were at one end of the house, and then you had to walk down a long hallway, and then you hit the living room, and then the kitchen, and then the rest of the house, and everybody would be in their rooms. Everybody would be sleeping. There's nothing else. All the animals would be in the bedrooms. And you would hear footsteps and people out in the kitchen. And, you know, it's just
kind of like we hear now at our house.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, but when you go out there, there's nothing there, you know, but it's the fact that, you know, when it wakes you up out of sleep, you know, they're trying to get your attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I'm assuming when you're on the other side, you're fully open and awake. You're not closed off or in any kind of amnesia like we are. You know, you have full access to everything that you are. And for the most part, that's, I guess, it's mostly earthbound and confused and stuff. But as I guess a general spirit, I'm saying, I'm sure they have an idea of what we're capable of on that side. But when it comes to being on this side, most people don't even understand that it's real or we can even do this kind of stuff. So it's almost like a waiting game for them over there, just constantly pushing it. And, you know, like you always say, the children and animals will always tap right into it. So I'm sure they're the easiest targets to try to get a message across to somebody.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we did have people who shared a couple of stories.
Okay.
That they wanted us to, you know, they weren't comfortable calling it or sharing it themselves. So, and you have a few too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So here's one. Here's one who was sent in by somebody who actually, for those of you who watch the Ghost Hunters and a few of the other paranormal shows, there's a lighthouse, St. Augustine Lighthouse, that's very haunted, and it's been on some of the shows. So here is something that somebody sent in about something they did at that place. And it said, I had a strange incident occur while on a ghost tour of the St. Augustine Lighthouse a few years back. Hang on, I gotta read it. My wife booked a weekend trip for my birthday, and part was going on a private tour of the lighthouse that TAPS investigated a few years before. We were in the basement as a small group, walking through the narrow hallway between the cisterns. I was calling for the spirits, trying to get some action, and nothing doing. And as I was walking through the corridor, something grabbed my shirt, enough to pull the shirt away from my body. I thought it was my wife trying to get my attention. I turned around, and I was the last person, so no one was behind me at all. Kind of a neat experience.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really neat when they can do things that's physical, you know?
Yeah.
Super cool. So let's see. Here's, we have a bunch of them. So here is one from Brad in Knoxville, Tennessee. So I was living at home, and I think I was around 17 at the time, and I loved to read at night before bed. So it was late, around 2:30 a.m. My bedroom was near the front door, and I heard what I thought was my dad walk down the hall, open the front door, open the very noisy screen door, walk out under my bedroom window to the car, and then open and close the car door, and then walk back in and down the hall. I asked my mom the next morning what he was looking for in the car last night, and gave her the time it happened. And she looked at me with this strange look and said that she was watching TV at the time and he was sound asleep snoring.
Oof.
Needless to say, I was a little freaked out.
Yeah.
That's a cool one.
Yeah, it is.
Somebody went in the car.
I have one that's called The Faceless Figure from Mr. Wesley.
Okay.
He says, when I was 15 years old, I stayed up late watching a TV marathon with my sister. In the middle of the night, after my sister had fallen asleep, I saw the nearby computer mouse starting to move by itself. I called my mother into the dark room, and she said it was probably a rat that was pulling the cable from underneath the desk, and that I should just go to sleep. Suddenly, I swear I saw a black figure with no face or human features behind the bookcase, staring. It looked in my direction and pointed. I nearly shat myself with fear. I remember saying, "Who are you? I don't want you in my house. Nobody wants you here. Get out now." The thing slowly disappeared, and I actually heard it hit the cabinet before it went through it. The cabinet began to sway, and the door slammed, making a loud bang. And that's the last time he ever saw it.
Wow.
Mm.
That's pretty cool. So they're all neat.
Yeah.
Here's one from, what's her name? It's from Sacramento. She's in Sacramento. So, hi, I'm 31 years old and from Sacramento. I've been living in the same house for almost 4 years now. My first experience, I was out in the garage at night, sitting down listening to the radio, when a very heavy 24-foot extension ladder came crashing down behind me. This would have been impossible without some type of force, because it was leaning against the wall at an angle that would make it impossible to have fallen by itself. It fell about a foot behind my head, and the noise startled me more than I've ever been. After that, my family and I started hearing someone running up and down the hall very late at night. My 7-year-old daughter started sleeping with the light on a few nights later, and she told me a little boy was coming into her room at night and that he was mean to her, telling her things like, "You need to kill your family." Jeez. I started praying and also talking out loud, threatening the spirit if it ever harmed my daughter. A few nights later, I couldn't sleep because I have insomnia, and suddenly there was someone tapping over and over on my window, from the outside. My room is on the second story, so this really made no sense, other than being an entity of some kind. I went over to the window, and there was no one there, and it stopped. I laid back down, and then something started knocking on the wall less than a foot away from my head. I just laid there with my eyes open looking at the wall. It knocked repeatedly for about 5 minutes, and then someone started whispering in my ear, and it was very muffled, just like they make it, so it makes it sound like the sound it makes in scary movies. It sounded like there was more than one person whispering or trying to talk to me, or at least to each other. And that this was the last experience I had. People in my family have been touched at night many times, but it never happened to me. I always talk to the spirits and tell them I respect them, that they can live there as long as they respect me. I've talked to spirits many times, and I believe this is why they leave me alone now. They also leave my daughter alone now. I consider a spirit or spirits to be alive just like us and in another dimension and in another form. So if they can talk, push ladders, touch people, scare them, then to me that makes them alive.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly believe that these spirits just want us to know they're there. And that, yes, there are different kind of entities. I'm just glad that I have the one I have and not one that's evil. I mean, it's a little creepy that one was telling the little girl to kill her family. So it's obviously more of a negative one. But the fact that she knew to tell it to stay away or to leave, and, you know, that's really good because we teach people to firmly, but firmly and nicely, I say firmly and adamantly, so not mean, but if you firmly ask the spirit to leave and they don't want to go, they're not going to go.
Yep.
But if you ask them to leave and let them know, like, you're scaring me, or tell them, you know, look for your family members or look for the light above you because maybe they're stuck. Sometimes you can get them to move on so that they're not there.
Yeah.
You know, but some of them, they don't want to go. You know, they're part, either sometimes they're part of the property. Sometimes they're, you know, part of the air. They choose not to leave. So then you either have to learn to coexist with them.
Yeah.
Or you have to, you know, some people relocate.
So, yeah. So far, the most haunted place I think I've been to is the jail I used to work in. And
being
on the night shift for 4 years, my first year was afternoon, but the four following that were night shift. And on a couple of times a year, this would happen. And you would, you know, you get on shift and you'd go inside the pods and you'd get a head count of all the inmates that are there. And you come back with your number, and if it matches the number that's in the paper, you're all good to go. I can't tell you how many times I've been sent, and it's usually the female quarters. That was the most haunted quarters. I'd have to go in there and count twice because I come back with the wrong number. And I swear there were people in the cell. You know,
I'm sure there
I would walk by, I would count, I would go back with 17, and there'd be only 60. I'm like, no, up there, cell 30, whatever, there's somebody laying down in the bed. And I'd go back in there, and it'd be totally empty. And I'm sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. You know? And then you hear the voices when you walk by, you hear this, you know, screams, and there's nobody in the pod at all. It's very, very eerie. You know, and a lot of the inmates who are kind of half in, half out in the medical unit, they're constantly talking to people in their cells that aren't there. I mean, I had a guy once ask me to get the guy out of his cell. There was nobody in there with him. He's like, he's standing right here. Get him out of here. I don't know why he's in here. You know, like they would be 100% scared shitless because they're people. They would say, there's somebody standing right there. You got to come in here and get him.
I'm sure jails are prone
they're
to be haunted just
haunted.
Because
just
of
the darkness. Of
well,
that.
And also so many, you know, people take their lives there. And I mean, we've investigated Burlington Prison, and it was extremely haunted.
I was just going to ask about how the energy was in there for you. I mean, an active prison is always going to be, I think, a little bit more haunted because the people are there. But I mean, I've been inside pods where they were empty. No one's in there, and I'm still here rummaging around.
Well, there's a lot of residual in the older prisons.
I'm sure
spirits are residual, and sometimes what happens is because people are coming in investigating and stirring it up, you know, sometimes it makes it a bit more where they're, you know, they know that they can communicate because there's people coming in. Sometimes it makes it worse because people are, you know, kind of constantly in and out of their territory.
Oh, yeah.
So,
absolutely. I've had people literally kick and scream until I change their cells. They will not stay in that cell. They want a new cell. I can't stay in here. I'm freaking out. There's somebody in here. There's noises and whispers, and I'm poking me. I got to get out of here. And, you know, you can tell when somebody's being really genuine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. It's crazy. It's something you just get used to after a while.
Well, because not everybody believes in, they're skeptical.
Oh,
they
yeah.
always believe in spirits. Unless,
absolutely. 100%.
Unless they have an experience that they can say, you know, this is unexplainable and I was really scared and there's no way to debunk it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make up
seeing
an apparition in front of you, especially for those who have had it on camera or have a witness. You know, there's lots of times where we've seen, you know, we've experienced things. And even though we do this for a living, it's still,
oh, my corporal,
when it happens, you're like.
My corporal was doing the outside tour one night at 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. of the two outside tours. It was 2 a.m. and the corporal and the one of the other officers was doing the lap around the building. And he looked me dead in the eye and was saying, this happened and you got to believe me. And the other guy was so nervous. No, I didn't see nothing. Nope. He saw something.
Yeah.
He's just saying, there we're walking, just a normal walk on the sidewalk around the building. And all of a sudden this ball of light comes from the sky, he says. And it comes down about maybe 30 feet over them and just hovers. And then slowly goes to the left and slowly goes to the right. And it's this bright ball of light, he said. And it comes down. It was coming down slower and slower and then stopped and then took off into the sky. And they came running in like, what's that? You know, but the one guy now refuses. He won't admit it. He's like, nope, that was just an airplane. And then and the cripple was like, oh, no, it was right above us. And it was floating left and to the right, and to the left, and to the right. And then it just shot off into the sky. And it was an orb. As I'm telling you, it was a giant orb of light. And it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. But the other guy was like, oh, hell no. Oh, no. Hell no. He wanted nothing to do with it. And I believe him.
Yeah.
I do. You know, and the guy has the aura about him, too. He has that aura that would attract lights and, you know, ETs mm-hmm. and spirits because he's into it. It was a cool story.
That's neat. I think it's cool. Well,
mm-hmm.
especially if there's a lot of activity in that area.
Yeah, and it came from the sky, too. It wasn't even in the facility. It was outside. It was in the middle of the night. It was nice out.
Well,
it
lots
popped
of policemen
out of the sky.
And law enforcement people have a lot of experiences with the paranormal.
Because we have a lot of experience with death.
Yep. Well, and you guys are in and out of so many different places. And I mean, I have friends who are in the
abandoned buildings, all kinds of stuff, you know,
who are cops too. And they've told me stories of, you know, cops are the ones who are the first ones, you know, they have to constantly, you know, check and monitor abandoned buildings and things like that. They're always chasing people out of places where there's activity they need because they're constantly needing to watch on it. And
yep.
we know from up here, places where we used to be able to go in and maybe, you know, sneak in a little bit of ghost hunting, you can't even get near there now because the cops are right on you.
Yeah.
We've talked about that in previous episodes with Clinton Road because people would always be pulling over because that road is so haunted. And now, you know, if you try to do that, the minute, like a few minutes after you stop, there's a cop pulling up.
Yeah,
it
becomes dangerous.
Checking what you're
because
doing.
Because the normal people who go, I've been to those places before and I've, you know, there's a lot of abandoned places that people would want to film at and like, do that kind of stuff. And unfortunately, although it attracts interested people, it also attracts a lot of people that are disturbed too. And it becomes a problem. There's constant traffic.
Yeah.
There's constant people. You know, if it's becoming an issue because you don't know who's who. And, you know, there's quite a few different personalities you can roll up on when you're dealing with spiritual or paranormal areas. It's really eerie, you know. And what I think is, I think that, I don't know, maybe it's not just cops, but people who have to use their intuition a lot and they're constantly practicing using, because the whole idea of being an officer is to try to prevent them happening before they actually happen, you know, and that's how you prevent disasters, prevent the accidents, whatever. I think that people in all first responders, anybody in the military, that's how, type of work that deals with that kind of stuff is constantly heightening their senses and constantly looking over their shoulder and waiting for something. You know, I think that also unintentionally is heightening and awakening up their psychic abilities too. I think the part of the intuition and those sensory abilities that people have in general that are constantly practicing it, or just they don't even realize they're heightening those psychic abilities. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only thing I can really think of, because it's not a coincidence that a lot of that profession is becoming.
But a lot of them have ability
to begin with. Maybe that's why
they're in certain areas where they're prone to that type of thing.
You know, maybe the people like that are more prone to that because that's why they're in that field in the first place. That's why they gravitated towards it, because they're that heightened. Or I don't know. Who knows?
Well, listen, we have all these ghost stories from people all over the world or in the country, and just with all these random different experiences. So there is, you know, right there, all these different people that have no affiliation with each other.
Yep.
You know, they're all having similar experiences where it's some unexplained energy or entity, you know, doing some type of making some kind of contact with them, or them noticing something or hearing something. So, you know, I guess I understand people being skeptical, but when there's so much, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, either way, you can paranormal activity, even with us, with all the equipment we use, there's a way to measure it. There's a way to, you know, prove it. It's just, there's always somebody out there trying to go one step farther,
yeah,
saying, no,
absolutely.
It's this.
Yeah, of course.
So I have another one, and this person is from, they didn't say where they're from, but here's what it says. When I was around 13 years old, I was doing homework in the living room of our house late at night. My parents' bedroom connected to the living room, and my father was sleeping while my mother was reading a book. My father was known to snore, so when I heard a very loud, angry growling sound, I asked my mother if that was my dad. She immediately became panicked and said no. She thought it was me. As I turned around, I looked under the dining room table and saw a black figure as tall as a small dog, completely black with reddish eyes and only an outline of form. It resembled the figures from the movie Ghost that came from the shadows and took the bad people away. As me and the figure made eye contact, it hissed at me and faded into the shadows. It's been 20 years since this happened, and I've never seen anything else. But now other people would attribute it to an overactive child's imagination. But the fact that my mother heard it while I saw it confirms to me that it really did happen, and that whatever it was not from this earth. It all only lasted about 20 seconds, but it has crossed my mind so many times in my years of life. To know that there is something else out there and to have seen it, it makes you question what is going on in the world, life, etc. Mm. That's really cool.
That is cool.
That was creepy. But it's always good to have a witness.
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's even funnier when, like, you experience something with somebody, and then at that time, in that moment, you both know you saw something, but mm-hmm. like the next day, that one person denies it, and you're like, you were there, you saw it. And then
what
now
do you mean
I look
you
a
didn't
jackass.
See it?
Yeah. There's one I have from somebody that says that their undead grandma who wanted the anniversary. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The undead grandma who wanted the anniversary of her death noted. That's what he has as a caption here. And then he says, okay, when I was 5, my grandmother passed from breast cancer. Fast forward 10 years later, 2005, I had a dream one night that dad decided to buy the house that he grew up in. At the same time, the same one that we lived on for a while when I was a kid. In the dream, I was the first person to walk into the house. So I walk into the family room and see my grandmother sitting on her chair knitting. And I say, Mom, what are you doing here? She responds, I wanted to come down from heaven and let you know that I was always watching over you and I love you very much. Then I woke up in a cold sweat, wondering what the hell just happened. Then I go downstairs to tell my mom about my dream. And she says, oh, wow, that's freaky. And I inquire why. And she says, today's the 10th anniversary of my mom died. That the morning he woke up was the 10th anniversary of her death. That's why he named it the anniversary of her death noted. Isn't that crazy? He had a dream of a house that he lived in when he was young.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, even famous people have some really cool stories. They have that show, Celebrity Ghost Stories,
mm-hmm.
that's on all the time. But, you know, you'd be surprised how many people have some kind of, like, awesome, like, experience.
Oh, yeah.
And I always remember the one where, because for those of you who know about Cher, but her husband was Sonny Bono, and he died, her ex-husband at the time, he died in a skiing accident, and she insists
that
he haunts her mm-hmm. by turning the lights on and stuff and the chandelier and things like that. So she's big into believing in ghosts, so she always feels his ghost is around haunting her. I like the celebrity stories. They're so cool.
Yeah. Well, it's because they're well known, you know, and that kind of gives you a reminder that they're people too. You know, they're not just these figures we see on these screens in our homes. They're people that have the same experiences that we have, the same emotions and feelings. And, you know, a lot of them are hesitant to come out with stuff like this because they're famous.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a bunch of celebrity ghost stories, I'm sure. Do you have any more?
Mm-hmm. Well, LaToya Jackson always thinks Michael Jackson is.
Oh, really? I believe that.
She always thinks that he's around.
In their
childhood home.
Do you think as a medium you can summon Michael Jackson?
Well, if you did something like a seance, you know, you can attempt to call in celebrities. I mean, to have the connection. I know people who like were absolutely, you know, just very connected and felt, you know, like there were certain celebrities that passed away that they really loved a lot. And even though they might not have ever met them in person, they just had a strong emotional connection to them, you know, whether it was from growing up with them and watching them on TV or just they just like them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard, you know, a lot of people who do psychic work or mediumship where they actually called in people that they really, you know, were fond of. Like a lot of them worked a lot with calling in Elvis and they said they were able to reach him. I personally have not tried calling in somebody famous, and it would be cool to try, you know, especially when
there are
people who have passed that I was like absolutely devastated when they passed away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like John Candy.
yeah, he was so great.
You know, some of those John Ritter.
This one is more of a story that some people might not like. You know how there's also some stories that instantly give you goosebumps, and there's some stories that instantly like makes you, I don't know about that.
Think.
Yeah, maybe not. This person, you know, he keeps saying he's 100% positive that he thinks he knows what this is. And it's called, he named it The Man Whose Deceased Fiance Still Confronts Him.
Hmm.
And it's he goes, my girlfriend and I would often take walks in college at night. We would usually take the same route. And every time we passed this one streetlight, it would go out. We always looked for it when we walked and usually commented on it going out. At least he says in parentheses, no exaggerations. I promise at least 80% of the time, this particular street light would turn off whenever they walked by it for some reason. And he said 8 months after we got engaged, she passed away. And he says, it's been 9 years since she passed. And I still enjoy going for walks at night. Sometimes I'm having a bad day. Whatever it's because I've had a bad day. It doesn't make much sense. He says that there is a street light that goes out as I walk by it. If I happen to drive it later, it'll go back on. If I'm in a good mood, it doesn't go out. If I'm having that emotional attachment and missing her, it'll go out. But if I'm in a good mood and I walk by it, it won't go out. He's like, I can't explain this. I'm not making it up, but this is just what happens to me.
That sounds like his energy is.
I think it is too. That's what I'm thinking.
You know, like the, you know how they, you know those movies where if somebody's in a sad mood, it starts raining.
Yeah, but remember in the healing, what was that we were just watching? The Nevada one we watched with the healer. He was a cop. What was it called?
He was a healer.
He was the cop.
It was Roswell.
Roswell, yeah.
The new Roswell.
Whenever he met the new Roswell, whenever he got upset, the power grid would go out.
Mm-hmm.
He would get really angry and the lights would flicker and mm-hmm. everything. He probably had something similar. But it was only this one particular light. It was really weird, he said.
Hmm.
Who knows? I don't know.
Well, I know when you, depending on how strong your energy is, you know, even like psychically, like if you walk, if you're in like a really high vibrational energy moment, you can actually manipulate the lights. Like, cause I know if I do, if it's the end of a day and I've done a lot of readings or mediumship and energy healing, if I walk by a light, a lamp, and I put my hand up to it, it'll get brighter. And if I take it away, it'll dim. Like, so it, I can actually, it's just the energy, like the higher vibrational energy that, started to accumulate through the, you know, so spirits manipulate a lot with electricity.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's why they come through with the static TV or radio stations or things that they can manipulate. Energy is, I guess, one of the easier things to manipulate, especially if you're on that side and you can control it. Mm. You know, I hear stories from people who do astrals that when they're in that plane, they can manipulate lights more than anything.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I get. Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, and not everybody remembers when they're in those other dimensions.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've heard stories from people where they say that they got out of their bed thinking it was a normal day, and they go to grab the door handle, and their hand goes through it, and they wake up freaked out. Like, what the f-? You know, like, they feel solid, they get out of bed, they move the covers, they stand up, they put their socks on, and they go to grab the door handle, and then just go through it, and then all of a sudden, everything turns like a staticky, electric-looking thing, and then they just wake up.
Yep. I told you that story, that was probably one of the few times that I was actually scared.
Oh, in the old house?
Which was when I could not wake up from, in I was astraling. Well,
yeah, in the
old
bedroom.
Weird. I don't even necessarily know. I guess I was astral. It was weird. It was
like
OBE. It was an altered state of it. And normally you're connected. So obviously you can't just disappear and eventually you're going to wake up. But what happened was I became so lucid in it and so aware, my human consciousness,
you freaked out.
that I remembered, I got up like it was a regular day. And then I'm like, why does my room look like this? And there was boards and as if somebody was building something like a dresser or something in my doorway. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the hell? Cause I was like, well, that was when you had gone to work. And I remember saying, Rodney, make something while I was sleeping. And you left, you used to leave, you know, you got home late.
Yeah.
You know,
what shift was I on?
No, it was when you did the mandatory. So you
were. Oh, when I got stuck? Oh, yeah.
So you weren't, you know, you weren't home yet. Normally you got home early. And then I was like, I remember hearing Robbie
I remember now.
In my state of mind I was in at that moment, I remember hearing my son walk down the stairs and saying, oh, well, Robbie will help me. And then I remember yelling for my kids' names, and they were just going about their business as if they couldn't hear me. And then I turned around and saw me sleeping.
Yep.
And then I was like, oh, my God, I remembered hitting the alarm already.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, my God, how am I going to get up? My alarm already went off. Nobody can hear me. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to wake myself. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I literally felt myself panic and go, oh my God, I felt stuck and I didn't know what to do. And then my daughter knocked, because obviously what I saw from my doorway wasn't my doorway with something blocking it.
Yeah.
My daughter knocked on the door.
And woke you up
and woke
physically?
Me up.
Woke your physical
and I'm
up.
Like, oh my God, what would I have done if she didn't knock on the door? So I try not to think about that too much. Mm-hmm. Cause you have to wake up eventually at some
you will.
Point.
Absolutely.
Because
you will.
I was literally
you
trying
would know
to
if
pinch
you
myself
in the
moment. I was so lucid. And that's the first time I've ever.
Well, that lucid,
you know,
would be, yeah, that's.
I was very
aware. You weren't in the astral plane, I don't think, but you were definitely astral. You had an OBE.
Yeah, well,
physical in that mental state.
I've done that before. I've walked around I've never
not
had it
stuck.
Where I felt like I didn't have control over what was going on.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, yep.
You know, and I haven't had that since. It was rare.
Anytime I had an actual out-of-body astral projection, whenever you remotely think about your body, usually you'd snap back into it. Mm-hmm. I remember telling myself before, I would practice this for 8-9 months until I finally had my first out-of-body astral projection. And I always told myself, you got to stay calm. If you get excited, if you get emotional, if you get scared, you'll wake right back up and you have to try it all over again the next day. And the first time I did it, of course I freaked out because I floated out of my body and I turned around slow. I was like, okay, go slow, go slow, go slow. I was turning. I saw myself. I said, nope. And I woke up and I was like, I did it. I freaked out. I was so happy I did it. And then I practiced more and more. And then I was going through walls. And then I was going in different planes.
Then you were getting comfortable with it.
Then I got comfortable. And then I started seeing entities, mostly ETs more than anything. A few spirits here and there that I didn't know of. But my main practice was to go out of my body, go around my house or go outside or float somewhere, capture an image of people or somebody in my house, wake myself up and go run upstairs to see if I was just bullshitting myself. 100% accurate. Sometimes the colors would be off. Sometimes the coloring of the walls would be a little bit bluer. Sometimes it'd be, you know, it depends on, I guess, what I've read is it depends on your state of mind before you go into the projection.
And, well, I think it is a little grayer because it was the same for me. And,
I've never had a pure vivid like this, but like, you know.
And normally when you're aware of it, because even when you do this work, like in that moment that happened to me, I was in there saying to myself, you know you're not stuck. You know,
what
you're doing.
What you do for a living.
But it doesn't matter because your human side, the instant thing
red
was,
alert,
wait a minute, nobody can hear me.
That's
and then
brain.
I had to double check. I'm like, I'm not dead, am I? And then when I saw myself, I saw myself sleeping, I'm like, oh, I know, you know what you're doing. But normally when I'm astraling, I'm very well aware I'm astraling. What was weird about this one is I did like a dimension jump.
Yeah.
And I jumped into that moment, like out of somewhere else. So I haven't done that before, but I think it was pretty cool. Now that it happened, I can obviously deal with it a little more, like on how to, like if it ever happened again.
Did I ever tell you that? I think I told you this once. I don't know if I ever said it on air, but the personal stories that I have, like with the ETs and stuff, I tend to like kind of not want to sound dumb or weird about it, but I can really care less now. I think I told you about the time where my mom was cooking, but she actually wasn't cooking. Mm-hmm. It turns out that, I don't know if I ever said it live before.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it the last time, but you can.
It was my old house. It was an accidental astral projection. And I think I knew it was out of body, but I must have been in such a deep state I was okay with it. And so I remember popping out of my body, and I went through my doorway, and I was looking around my house like, this is so cool. I'm like a temporary ghost. I can float around and who knows what else I can do. So I take it slow. I said, just calm down. I'm sure if you freak out, I've read, if you freak out, you're going to wake up and stuff.
Yeah.
So I slowly start going up the staircase and I see my mom in the kitchen. She's got the chicken in the oven and she's wrapping a more chicken for chicken cordon bleu and stuff. And I can smell it. I'm like, oh my God, this smells amazing. And it's my favorite dish of all time, chicken cordon bleu. And I'm sitting there. I didn't say anything. I was just watching for a second. And as she's like putting more stuff back in the fridge and she's still got the oven going, everything's cooking. All of a sudden, I guess I just woke up, I don't know why, but I just happened to wake up and I rub my eyes. I sit up and I was like, oh, she must be cooking. And when I go upstairs, there was nothing going on. And then 15 seconds later, she comes through the front door with grocery bags saying, I'm making chicken cordon bleu tonight. And I was like, what? She's like, I'm making chicken cordon bleu. And I was like, she's like, what's wrong? I just had the crazy. I didn't tell her that I was astral projecting because I had to explain what that means. I was like, oh, I just had a weird dream. You were making chicken cordon bleu. I mean, what caught me, what was really amazing to me was the fact that she was in the middle of cooking it. It was in the oven. I could physically smell it. I smelt the chicken and the cheese, and I was like, I'm so hungry.
Time travel.
Starving. And I was like, I should have been like, what are the lottery numbers? What could I do? Could I play? Watch some TV on real quick.
Wait, like Back to the Future when he went to the future to get the winners and then came back
exactly. It was an accidental time traveling. I was perceiving, having a pre-existing or whatever. My brain is not working very well right now.
Premonition.
Premonition. Yeah, exactly. It was the coolest. And then that's when I think I started to pursue what exactly is this? Can I do this willingly, or is it always an accident?
That you can control.
And then like 9 months later in the new house, I finally broke out on my own. That's when I think because I really wanted to, then I saw my house more vivid, and then it made more sense to me. But then I did it a few more times, and all was in all different kinds of dimensions, different kinds of spirits coming up to me and stuff. And it's just, there's so much more going on around us than most people will ever know until they pass on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if there's a reason that we're able to do this, we can. It's cool if we do. Because, you know, when I was younger, I always thought like, oh, should I not be, I don't know, is this, should I play with this kind of stuff? Should I not? Am I supposed, maybe I'm here on earth for a reason. I should just wait. You know what I mean? But now it's a whole different way of thinking for me. It's a part of what we are and who we are. And I think we're here to learn and strengthen our abilities and stuff. I think that if we can do well with our abilities and that kind of stuff on this low frequency third dimension, it's great practice. I think we'll be stronger on the other side, you know. It's just, and there's so many more stories I can tell. But
so it's a lot more people tapping into the other side than even talk about.
Yeah,
I like when people.
And no matter what anybody says, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you write on Facebook, it was real, and I know it. No matter what you say,
especially if they put it out there,
100% real. I have validation that it was real.
Remember the story that we mentioned a couple weeks ago. I think it was like the week or two before we took our break, and it was what the ghost story about John Belushi.
Oh yeah,
where the little kid was tapping into.
I can probably find it and
into him, you know. And I think it's great when celebrities go up and talk about that kind of stuff because, like you said, they are high profile. People tend to listen, you know, and they're actually sharing that they're just like everybody else, you know, experiencing that kind of thing too. So I actually have one here from Megan Fox.
Oh, really?
Where she actually talked about something that happened to her in a hotel. And so these are her words. So I believe in everything, Fox admitted to MTV News in 2014. I was just in Mexico at my hotel, and it was a bedroom, living room, bedroom, bedroom. I had pre-ordered breakfast for 7:30, and at 7, I hear them come in with the table. I hear them pouring the coffee. 30 minutes later, at 7:30, I went in there, no table, no coffee, no food, no nothing. No one there. The doorbell rings. I open the door. It's room service with my food. So Brandy, the nanny, comes out later and says, why did room service come at 7 when we told them to come at 7:30? So you can't tell me I'm crazy because two people heard it. So in her hotel room, she heard somebody come in and serve her. So usually when things like that happen, it can be one of the servers passed away in the hotel and that, you know, maybe they were there for 20 years and that was their job. So that they're, you know, that's one of the places that they frequent. So they go, that's the residual energy where they go back and forth doing their same routine, you know. And so she basically was getting residual energy. That's what she was hearing. So I that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Like I said, it's always good when you have a backup.
John Belushi, Belushi.
Yep. And then while you're looking for that, I have Dan Aykroyd, which everybody knows he's been to the paranormal.
He just did a huge podcast about ghosts and spirits and aliens.
He had done an article for Esquire, and that he's had several experiences with ghosts. And he said he saw things moving around on the counter, doors opening and closing. The staff also had experiences. And direct contact in terms of tactile touching, and then turning around and there's no one there. So, and he's also had where he's felt like somebody's crawled into bed with him. He said he was alone in the house once and decided to take a nap, and he closed the door to the bedroom but didn't lock it. And that he woke up in some kind of like trance-like state where you don't know whether you're sleeping or not. And he said, He said it's what the abductee feels when he's being taken. So he said he I saw the door open and I rolled over and looked at the bed and I saw the depression in the mattress, like somebody was getting in there. And I thought, I'm just going to roll over and snuggle up next to it. So he saw something get in his bed, but he was like in a half awake state.
Mm-hmm.
And he just saw like the deep impression as if somebody was laying there. You know, like when you get up out of bed and your impression is still there.
Yeah.
So he said he just snuggled up right next to it and just decided to roll over and go to sleep.
Yeah.
But I think he's so comfortable with the paranormal and, you know, because he's big in the UFOs too.
Huge.
Yeah.
So, he has a lot of UFO stories.
Yeah.
He says that the idea he got for Ghostbusters when he read was because his family is into paranormal and his house is haunted. That's where he got the idea for Ghostbusters.
Yep.
His whole family was into the paranormal growing up and he was just a part of it.
Yeah. I think those stories from them are cool. So Allison Hannigan, so you guys know that she plays Lily on mm-hmm. How I Met Your Mother, or mm-hmm. she did. And she's also in American Pie. But anyway, she used to live in a haunted house. And she said, she said, I have a ghost in my house and I saw him a couple of months ago. And I don't think he died there because there's a law in L.A. that when you buy a house, if somebody mm-hmm. died there, they have to let you know.
Dan Aykroyd was talking about that whole thing.
Yep, they have to
had to disclose it.
Yep.
Yep, to his realtor.
Yep. And she said, so there was no disclosure and it said nobody did die there. She said her friend saw him first one night and she's like, I don't mean to worry you, but I just saw a man follow us out of the house. So, and she said, at least he was gentlemanly. He let us go first.
Yeah.
And she tends to see spirits. So she said it wasn't the first time she saw spirits. She also saw the silhouette of a man standing in the bathroom doorway. And she basically just, she talks to them. So she didn't get the name, but mm-hmm. she said, I'm thinking of putting a little chalkboard where I think he lives to see if he will write his name down.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it would be cool. Never tried doing it that way.
No, you can give it a shot. You never know.
Yeah.
I found the John Belushi one was a specific family who talked about it, and I found it, but it's kind of a short version of it. It's the Chateau Marmont in L.A., and starts off by saying, converted to a hotel in the 1930s, the Chateau Marmont, the exclusive and elegant hotel on Sunset Strip, has become a hideaway for celebrities. For some, from Britney Spears to Jim Morrison, it has been the settling for meltdowns, affairs, and drunken shenanigans. John Belushi liked to party here so much, it would make sense that he'd stop by in the afterlife, they said. People say Bungalow 3, where he fatally overdosed, there was a certain specific room in 1982, is the site of strange occurrences. And the story is, the story involves a toddler whose family stayed there for a stint in 1999. And the mother described it was a regular room and there was a big walk-in closet and it was the size of a child's room. So they put the carriage, the bed and everything.
Does it say how old the little kid is?
It does not say.
Just toddler, so maybe
I'm
3?
I'm sure if I looked into, yeah.
2 or 3 maybe?
Yep, he was speaking and in that of a crib. So he was placed in the crib and the child seemed to be happy, laughing and, you know, coloring and all this stuff. And he says that the family stayed there in 1999. As the Travel Channel tells it, his parents would hear him laughing alone, like I just said. And they got the nerve to ask him why he was laughing so much. And the child said, the funny man's here. And it was making the kid laugh. I don't know if it was a few days or a few weeks later, but the mother was actually going through a book of celebrity ghosts or guests in that particular hotel there, because it's famous for being a celebrity hotel and people passing there.
And they probably don't turn around and say, by the way, John Belushi died in the room you're staying in.
So when her and the toddler were sitting on the couch, she was flipping through this book of the people in the hotel. And without her even asking, when he turned to the right page, the kid said, oh, look. And he pointed at John Belushi and said, look, that's the funny man. That's the funny man. And turns out when she did more research, that happened to be the room that he passed away in. And then she got goosebumps and she was freaking out and all that good stuff. That's a really fun
story. Did
you
say how many years ago that one was?
That was in 1999.
So
he died there in 82. And
so now that kid is probably in his 30s.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a pretty huge, I would love to do a ghost hunt there. The Roosevelt, that's the hotel, yeah, the chateau.
Yeah, that's, I'm sure
the
that's,
Marmont on Sunset.
I'm sure people go there.
Oh, yeah. Like they said, the celebrities go there for their binges and that kind of stuff, and all kinds of crazy celebrities have been seen out of there. Hmm. So the story says.
Yeah, that's pretty... There's a whole thing on celebrity ghosts. People, you know, people who passed away, and then
yeah.
People are say like John Belushi, where they say they've seen, you know, their ghosts or that person's ghosts. And Marilyn Monroe is one of them. So they say, if you want to run into Marilyn, pick one or the more of the following. Make friends with the people who bought her gorgeous Brentwood home. Hang out at the Cabana Room Suite number 246 in the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. Or the mirror in the lobby in which a guest once saw Marilyn's ghostly reflection. And number three, hold a seance at her crypt at Pierce Brothers Westwood Village Memorial Park. And they say, don't forget to wear your Chanel number five. So she's supposed to frequent a lot of areas. And let's see who else did they say. So there's always been a big thing about Anna Nicole Smith. She's always been around where they're telling or people are saying that they've seen her. And they say that the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, that they renovated the suite in which she was found. And what they did is they renumbered the rooms to, you know, to ward off
yeah.
nosy interest in the paranormal customers.
That makes sense.
But they said that's probably why her ghost wanders the hallways trying to return to the scene of her death. So a lot of the places where these celebrities pass away, that's where people are seeing them frequent, you know, walking up and down the halls and, you know, or like you said with John Belushi, where he just happened to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the room where that's the last room he remembers.
Yeah. I'm trying to put a face on him. I got to go look at the images. I have no idea who this guy is. I'm trying to remember his face. Oh, yeah, there he is.
Who?
John Belushi.
Oh.
I forgot who he looks like.
Do you remember when, I guess. I
oh, yeah,
what episode...
he was hilarious.
I don't remember what episode it was we were talking about, but. Do you remember the story that we talked about with Abraham Lincoln? Because you know how they've always talked about how Abraham Lincoln was
oh, yeah.
psychic or prophetic
yeah.
or
yeah.
His wife also.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got this, there's a really cool ghost story around Abraham Lincoln. And it said, while Winston Churchill was staying in the Lincoln bedroom,
mm-hmm.
he got out of the bathtub one night only to find the long dead Abraham Lincoln staring at him.
Jeez.
And Churchill remarked, good evening, Mr. President. You seem to have me at a disadvantage because he took
really?
Him out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he said that the president smirked and just vanished. And everybody was like, okay. So I think that's pretty cool. But
was
they always say that
Churchill saw the spirit of Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Because he was
in a
shot.
Full bodied
in the,
apparition.
Yeah, because he wouldn't be there because he was shot in the auditorium there.
But he frequented the, you know, he was president.
Oh, yeah, I believe that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And you mentioned jails. So I'm not sure if people know that Alcatraz, Al Capone, they say he haunts that and they... He's distinguished by banjo music from his old jail cell.
Wow. I believe that too.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm sure there's so much with people with, you know, certain things that maybe they're known for, or that they're like signature little thingy there.
Mm-hmm.
You got any good ones over there?
I just went back here. I'm going through some of them now.
So
what
I have,
I
have something on Bonnie and Clyde.
I got a really erotic one.
Do you want
you
me
go.
To do the
Yeah, so, I'm not, yeah, you go ahead.
Bonnie and Clyde, you know, they were on the run, but they say that they are on the run, reliving their glory days, tracking down their old stuff all over the U.S. So visitors to the site where the pair was gunned down in Louisiana have seen orbs in all the photos. So whenever anybody takes photos, they're often seen with orbs there, as have those viewing their bullet-ridden Ford V8, which is on display in Nevada. So Bonnie supposedly haunts the lobby of the Baker Hotel in Texas, so you know Clyde can't be far behind. So they I mean, if you were somebody who really wanted to investigate celebrity paranormal, so maybe people who passed away that were famous, I can absolutely see people trying to change things around so they didn't get, you know, bombarded with people trying to, you know, go into those specific rooms and places. But there's others that hop on that bandwagon and they like the, you know, they like the notoriety, like to bring, you know, it brings business into where they are.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, it's going to go one way or the other in that case, but we would be going and checking out those things.
Yeah.
I would go to Bungalow 3.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely would.
To see the funny
I'm
man.
I'm interested. You know, when you're younger and you don't know what it is, it's more fear. But when you overcome the fear, now it becomes interest. Now it becomes, what else can you do? What else can I find out? I want to learn more. What is this? You know, even though in my sub-memory, I'm sure it's there somewhere. But what is it? What's going on? I want to know, you know?
Mm.
So I found this is kind of a longer one, but it actually goes into a few different stories and it's all scientific. This is called At the End of Her Life, My Mother Started Seeing Ghosts and It Freaked Me Out. So starts off, this is in 2017. Last summer, 6 months before my mother died, I walked into her bedroom, and she greeted me with a tinny hello and a big smile. She then resumed a conversation with her mother, who had died in 1973. "Where are you?" my mom asked, as though Grandma, a one-time Fifth Avenue millionaire, was on one of her many European hat-buying junkets, whatever that means. As I stood there, dumbstruck, Mom continued chatting in a young girl's voice, no less, for several more minutes, which was this a reaction of the medication, a sign of advancing dementia, or was she preparing to transition or whatever's going to happen to her next? Regardless, Mom was freaking me out, and well as my brother, sister, and father. As it turned out, my mother's chat with the ghost was a signal that the end was inching closer. Those who work with the terminally ill, such as social workers, hospice caregivers, call these episodes or visions a manifestation of what's called nearing death awareness, NDA. They're very common among dying hospice situations. Rebecca Valla, a psychiatrist in Salem, North Carolina, who specializes in treating terminally ill patients, wrote in an email, "Those who are dying and seem to be in and out of a world and the next often find their deceased loved ones present, and they communicate with them. In many cases, the predeceased loved ones seem to be aiding them in a transition to the next world."
Wow.
Well, the family members are often clueless about this phenomenon, or at least the outset. A small 2014 study of the hospice patients concluded that most participants reported such visions that as these people approach death, confronting dreams, visions of the deceased became more and more prevalent. Jim May, a licensed clinical social worker in Durham, North Carolina, said that family members and patients themselves are frequently surprised by the deathbed visitors, often asking him to help them understand what's happening. I really try to encourage people, whether it's near-death experiences or hallucinations, to just go with the flow. May explained after I told him about my mom's visitations, whatever they are experiencing is real to them. It's really happening to them. Villa agreed, telling me what to do. Minimize, dismiss, or worse, pathologize the accounts with is harmful. It can be harmful and traumatic to the dying person. So, of course, they'd be scared, you know.
Yeah.
If you're going to sit there and say, who are you talking to? What are you looking at? I mean, yeah. It's probably going to freak them out more. I mean, one, they're dying, which is scary enough. Two, they're seeing their parents and their past loved ones right there in front of them. You know, three, this person right here who is alive doesn't believe me. I'm sure it's traumatic and scary. And it said most patients actually seem to find the conversations with the ghosts, the spirits, more relaxing and comforting than the conversations with real people. So it seems like the transitioning of leaving this plane and going to the next, if they're more scared when their real families and friends are around, because they're, I guess it's not wanting to leave and wanting to stay with them. But on the other hand, you have this whole other group of people over here that are dead talking to you and saying, it's okay, we're going to take care of you. And that seems to be more, they seem to be more relaxed when they're talking to the spirits versus the doctors and stuff like that. So it says, it's almost done. In a moving 2015 TED Talk, Christopher Kerr, the chief medical officer at the Center of Hospice, showed a clip of this one terminally ill patient discussing her deathbed visions, which included her saying, my mom and dad, my uncle, everybody knew I was dead. Everybody that I knew was dead was there. I remember seeing every piece of their face. She was lucid and present as she was describing this. Since mom had already been diagnosed with advanced dementia, I originally thought that her talks were a sign of worsening illness.
Yes.
In fact, current research persists that the combination of psychological and pharmaceutical, the medication explains why they're getting these visions. They're blaming the meds. They're blaming the dementia. I don't think it's either.
Yeah.
That's exactly what May's hands-on experience of more than 14 years revealed to him. May acknowledged that it's understandably hard to have empirical evidence for such episodes in patients, but that it's important for family members and health professionals to figure out how to respond to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you say it's not real? Do you say they're just visiting? Like, how do you, especially somebody who doesn't believe in that kind of stuff, they're seeing these visions and stuff. And, you know, apparently I didn't know it was this common for people who were believing. It makes sense. If logically, if you think about it, if you believe in everything, it makes perfect sense. You're slowly weaning out of this world.
Oh, yeah.
And the other world is starting to look brighter and brighter.
Most
people just see
family members and things right before they pass, and they start talking about them, and you know, and that's a lot of times people know when it's getting closer because they mention, you know, that, you know, and you know, when you work with spirits a lot, most of them, you know, they have said that, like, they're already half over there. You know, when people think they're still here, they're already half over there. Like, they're already half in one end and half you know, back and forth. And we mentioned that before too, that, you know, the word dementia is, you know, this is where we get the dimensions from. So they tend to be in more than one dimension, you know, at that time when they're like that.
Mm-hmm.
But people can be perfectly fine and not have dementia and start seeing their loved ones.
Yeah,
you know, because they're preparing them, they're getting them, you know, and also it's because they're accessing the realms.
Yeah.
You know, they're so.
Yeah.
So I have a funny story.
Good.
I have a funny ghost story. So a paranormal investigative group in Connecticut.
We are currently experiencing an issue with the host line. People are trying to call in, but they're not getting through. Our engineers are actively working to resolve these issues. Please watch for updates. We're still live, just so everybody knows. So if you're trying to call in, Blog Talk Radio is experiencing an issue with the host line.
Yeah. Well, we had a problem.
And the guest call.
We're lucky
function.
We're on air.
Yeah, it took us about a half hour to get into the show. Now the callings, but I'm sure we have callers, but it's saying right here, we're currently working on the issue. So it's definitely on their
end.
So
for those of you who are calling in and you're not able to access us.
If you want to email us something like that.
Yeah.
We'll
or if
them.
You call next week when we're on air, you can, you know, call in and if, you know, we, because most of the time people only have like a 5 minute, you know, little thing to share. So we'll make sure we get it on. So a paranormal investigative group in Connecticut were called to a haunted house. The homeowners warned the group that the house was haunted by an especially evil spirit that enjoyed playing pranks. The team leader of the Paranormal Society invited a friend from Massachusetts to come along. He was a physicist and an amateur paranormal investigator who everyone called Doc. Doc believed that there was no such thing as ghosts or poltergeists, and that every type of haunting or unusual phenomenon had a reasonable earthly explanation, so he was a skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
The group traveled across the state of Connecticut in three different vehicles, filled with team members and equipment. Upon arriving at the home, the team immediately started setting up their monitoring equipment as the team leader and his friend Doc toured the home with the homeowner. So at one point during the tour, when the three men approached the staircase that led to the second floor, they heard very loud footsteps on the upstairs landing. "Is anyone else home?" Doc asked the homeowner. "No, my wife's at work and we have no kids," the homeowner replied. Excited to have his first opportunity to confront an alleged ghostly spirit, Doc walked to the foot of the stairs. "Come on, you can do better than that, you lousy ghost," Doc yelled up the stairwell. "Doc, I wouldn't do that if I were you," the paranormal team leader advised, but Doc ignored him and instead he stepped up onto the bottom step. "If you're a real ghost, why don't you show us what you can really do, you lousy no-good prankster?"
Oh, Jesus, good job.
The moment the last word came out of his mouth, his pants fell down around his ankles. The homeowner and the team leader burst into laughter as Doc, terrified, struggled to pull up his pants. He then stumbled as fast as he could out the front door of the house. He refused to re-enter the house or to talk about the incident ever again. However, the event went down in the records as one of the most humorous moments the paranormal team had ever witnessed in a haunted home. They still tell this funny ghost story to every new team member.
He asked for it.
Yeah, you can't taunt. We never do that. Once in a while, if one of the members feels like it's one that's interacting with them, well, that way they'll do it. But it's rare. It's rare. I mean, joking and busting chops is one thing.
They understand humor. I'm sure. I mean, but as far as like taunting like that, like, "Come on, let's see what you got, you tough guy. All right, let's see how tough you are now. Now you got no pants on."
Hmm.
That's funny.
Yeah. There's a lot of ghost stories about the Appalachian too.
What, say that again?
The Appalachian. There's because it spans across the country, so there's lots of ghost stories.
Where is it from? Georgia to Maine. It's half the country. It's Georgia to Maine. It's huge.
Yep.
Took a 6 month hike.
Yeah. There's a lot.
This person has a question. Do loved ones bid farewell from beyond the grave? And there's a whole story attached to it.
Do they bid farewell?
From the grave.
Well, they... Not that they... I think what they... Maybe what he means is they let you know that they're okay when they're on the other side.
I mean, this is like a 5-page thing.
Yeah.
It's really long. I was just... Oh, okay. I see. It's broken up in different stories. Okay. A telepathic link between loved ones, an eerie phone call at night. He had a whitish glow, which is pretty cool. Can you come out and play? That's always a creepy question.
Jeez.
This isn't that long. Well, Jesus kind of is. Let's see. It keeps going and going and going. the first one, death doesn't sever the connection between the loved ones. Say people who have experienced so-called crisis apparitions. Crisis. Ever heard about that term?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about them.
Crisis apparitions. And then it goes into a quick little story here. This one's called A Telepathic Link Between Loved Ones. This is more of an explanation. And guess who's doing this story? CNN is doing this story on, you know, the past life and is it real, is it not? Death technology will allow giving people to bring back their something.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of this stuff is just moneymakers for people. You have to really sift through the internet because a lot of it is BS.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, you know, you can tell when companies are trying to make money off of it versus real stories. You know, there's plenty of real ones, but
I have a story here about a man and his dog. So a man liked to walk through the woods with his dog, and the dog was never on a leash.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day the dog returned home, but the man didn't.
Oh, no.
So the search party took the dog with them, hoping it would lead them to the man, because they thought maybe he was hurt somewhere,
because
mm-hmm. they were up in the mountains. And then one day while searching the forest, one of the search party swore he saw a bear that vanished literally in front of his eyes.
A bear?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So the guy was terrified and he left the woods and he never came back. So the same day, the search party lost sight of the man's dog, but soon came across the savagely torn remains and those of the man. When they returned to the man's home to inform his wife, they were shocked to find the dog inside the house with her. When they handed her the dead dog's collar, the dog vanished in front of them. So the dog's ghost had faithfully returned home and accompanied the search party until they found the man's body and his and the dog's body. And it was concluded that both the man and dog fell victim to the bear, even though there had never been any bears reported in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Some say it was a ghost bear, while others say it was a supernatural creature that killed the man and the dog. So if you go anywhere into the woods there, there's always a predator waiting. It could be a phantom ghost, bear, or worse. That's a really cool story, though, because people do that too.
What?
So
yeah.
It's not just dogs, but you know, when we talk about, like, you know, we've mentioned the TV show The Ghost Whisperer lots of times on this show, and when somebody has unfinished business or died a traumatic death,
a lot of times.
They will come find somebody that can help them or to put them at rest. So, you know, a lot of times it's other people trying to help. Sometimes it is mediums and things like that. But in this case, the dog was able to lead people to help find what had happened to them and to help them
be
at rest. And what's interesting is that dog was like a full bodied apparition to them.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to, you know, appear and, you know, manifest as if it was solid, which they do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So I'm on this one, and these people are talking about Ouija board stories. We can get into that a little bit if you want.
We can do a Ouija one. We have like 20 minutes.
22 minutes. 22, 26, actually. So a lot of these are most of these stories are in New Jersey. Let's see. One's from Florida.
And you're going to have to bear with us for the
stories.
Listeners, because we can't access anybody who's trying to call in and share their stories. So we've been sharing the stories that people sent
few
that people pointed out that were famous that they wanted us to talk about.
So, her name is Abby. She's 20 and she lives in Florida. She says, I was in my room one night after playing with a Ouija board earlier that day, and she was getting ready for bed and her computer screen kept changing from black to blue and it kept turning on by itself. These are short, by the way. She turned off the computer again and the computer clicked itself back on. And she started saying, now I'm getting really anxious. So I unplugged the computer completely and then unpowered the computer and it started it back up again. And then it started up again. So she pulled the cord out. She held the power button until it completely turned off. She stood up and it turned back on again. And then she immediately looked at the computer. And then she looked over to the Ouija board, grabbed the board, went in the backyard, dug a hole and buried it. And
I don't know if I'd do that to my computer.
No, the Ouija board.
Oh,
she buried the Ouija board.
I thought she buried her computer.
No. This one's actually, this guy's name is Justin. He's from New Jersey here. He's 32. He says, I was playing with a Ouija board one day with some of my friends. They asked questions, but instead of the planchette, is that what it's called?
Yes.
The little planchette. The planchette. Instead of the planchette moving to letters like it normally does, he said it began moving in a strange pattern. It went to all four corners and then made an X across the board.
Oh, jeez.
And then it just went in circles. It went up, down, left, right, up, down, left, where he said. And he said the next time that he used the board, it was in a different friend's house with a whole different people and all that stuff. And then it started moving again in the exact same pattern. And he said that I feel like it was some kind of a hex. And then later that night, he was sleeping, and then he felt a forceful hand grab his arm and shake him and woke him up. And when because he was in the room with one of his friends, he thought his friends were waking him up. Something grabbed him. He physically felt it. It was shaking him to wake up. He woke up and everybody was sleeping except for him. There's nobody else in the room. Everyone was sleeping. And that's, you know, and then he said he went home. And
wow.
That was it. Yep. Let's see. We have Osanya from New Jersey. She said that most people play with a Ouija board in your groups, but I played it by myself. She said she put her hands. I know. She said she put her hands on the point to the pointer and asked the questions, but nothing happened. You know, she had her hands on the planchette, mm-hmm. but nothing was moving her, so she let go of it. Then she took her hands off the pointer and was about to put the game away when the planchette began to move slowly by itself. And then she flipped the board and said, "I'm never doing this again." She threw it away.
Yeah, because as soon as it starts doing that, it freaks people out.
I mean, if you are sitting there and you're
all alone
and
mm-mm.
it starts moving by itself, which is already kind of hard to believe because it's not very common that happens. At least people don't talk about it very often. But that's a literal shit scare.
Well, that's what they always show even when they're holding it. It's actually your hands are on top of it, but it's being pulled in a certain direction. So it's being guided by a supernatural force.
Yeah.
You know, to go where.
This was one more from a girl. I haven't read this one yet, but she is 24. Her name is Paige from Ohio. She said, "The first time I used an Ouija, a Ouija board, I was about 6 or 7, and I was with my mom and older sister, who was about 15 at the time. The family had just moved into a new house, much bigger, much older than the one they lived in previously, or we had lived in previously, rather. That night, me, my mom, and my sister were eating pizza on the living room floor since we didn't have all the furniture set up yet because we just moved in. We put a fire on to ease the chill of the fall air. After dinner, my sister pushed my mom to persuaded her mom to let's play the Ouija board. You know, let's make it interesting. And as we were using it, a box in the living room that had some books in it literally flew across the room like somebody tossed it across, like from where we were sitting. Like it was the other room, the door was open. They physically saw the box kind of jump off the shelf there and, you know, down to the floor. And she said, shortly after that, the fire that they had lit inexplicably just went out. And mom was so shaken that she took us into she took him out of the house to grandma's house because she was so scared. The fire just went out cold, like somebody put water on it, and the books were like shaking around the room. And she said, "Nope, we're done." She packed the room, she packed the board away. She said, "We're getting the car, we're going to grandma's." And that was it.
So how'd they pack the board away, though? What'd they do with the board?
I don't know. She didn't say. She just said that they folded the board out. I guess they put it back in the box and then just left the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they still have it. I don't know.
We've talked about that. Like, just from investigations we've done where, you know, you have to dispose of the board.
Like,
you know,
by what? Burning it? Or
Everybody's different. Some people give it back to who. Sometimes they got it from someone and they give it back to that one. Some do what, like you said, the other person buried it. Some destroy it completely. You mean
I have a really
the ones we've talked to, most of them didn't buy the board themselves. They either got it from someone or, you know, it kind of ended up at that person's house and they had to.
Yeah,
you know,
I never had one myself. Never had one. I've only used it once. And I was at my friend, oh, it was at my two buddies and his girlfriend at his girlfriend's house. And she pulled out a Ouija board. She said, look what I got. And I had never even really knew what it was. But I immediately thought this is kind of BS. And because every time we were young, we were real young. And I remember every time she would ask a question, you could feel her kind of pulling the thing around. And I was like, wait, let me do it. And there would, nothing would happen. And then I was like, well, let me ask the question. And nothing happened again. So we just kind of closed it up and nothing ever came of it. That's why. And then years later, I learned that they're bad and you shouldn't play with them. I had no idea. I just thought it was another board game that you use to talk to spirits. Like, hey, how are you? And all the questions were good. Like, how is everything? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Can you hear us? That kind of stuff. But I was young. I was skeptical. I didn't know what that was. I thought she was just messing with us, really. I mean, I had my own experiences, but I didn't, for some reason, that didn't really resonate with me at all.
Well, it depends on the energy of who's using it. And what happens is sometimes you end up pulling through some difficult people, you know, and we might have enough time to take this.
We have one callers. The number of the first caller is 111111111.
That's probably the
team fixing it.
Yeah.
But we do have a second caller. Last four digits are 1139. If you're listening, 1139.
Like 10 minutes.
We have 10 minutes, and we are clicking on you now. Let's see if this goes through.
The first call that went through all night.
Yep. And they're gone.
Yep.
They tried.
Well,
but
if you call
okay.
back, we won't click on you. It's just we haven't had the callers haven't been able to get through.
No, I have the same one down three times. It keeps popping up now.
Yeah.
So I think they just probably fixed the bug.
Yeah.
But if anybody wants to try calling in the next 3 minutes, we'll take a call and we'll chit-chat about ghost stories.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're already towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
1-3-3-3.
And there – and. You know, speaking of how to, you know, dispose of those boards, a lot of people have asked, because it's a common question.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own belief on how to get rid of them. So, you know, it's because it has a reputation with it. So if you know, no matter what you're doing to get rid of it, you want to make sure that whatever is with it doesn't stay with you. So you want to put that out there. Which is what we do when we go to ghost hunts.
Yep.
And haunted homes and businesses. And we'll say, you know, whatever is here doesn't come home with me.
Yep.
You know, and so you want to put that, you know, some people like to put, you know, salt circles around, you know, if you have to keep the board near you until you can dispose of it. You know, some people like to put the salt on it before they dispose of it. So little thing in there. I know people, oh my God, I know people who've gotten rid of it in so many different ways.
Yeah, I guess whatever comes to you and whatever you feel
they,
is the best way for yourself.
Well, it's funny because
burning it just completely just came to my head.
Some people, well, that's one of the ones. Some people say you can get rid of it any way you want, but there's others.
Rewrap it and put it under somebody else's tree.
There's others who feel like that if you actually break it into pieces, that it can release like bad energies out of it. So
yeah.
There's some people who don't believe in breaking them up, but. You know, I know somebody who did that. They busted the board right over their knees and they threw it in the dumpster. And then they did some kind of like religious prayer over it before they did it.
Yeah, like threw holy water at it.
You know, some people feel it shouldn't be buried because, I don't know. It's
burying,
just for those people,
just
they just feel
it.
That, yeah, it, you know, it was like Jumanji board, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly like a different version of Ouija.
So, I mean, there's so many different, you know.
There's that new movie out. It's called Ouija. But I haven't seen it. I don't really want to be honest.
That's
gonna all kinds of spirits are gonna be summoning, being summoned.
We need a Ouija board expert to tell us. To tell us how do you dispose of it. But the, you know, a lot of people don't believe it's negative. You know, the only reason we have a difficult time with the boards is because we have had so many investigations where we have been called from people who played with them or had something really evil or negative come out of it, and we had to go in and do a lot of, you know, work on, you know, cleansing and clearing the energy. 100%. And I mean, some of the things those people went through were so horrible, you know. So
yeah, and you can tell, like, the people who we talk to, I mean, these are real people. We're going to their real homes, and they're really kind of distraught about going back into their own home, you know. The one we did in not too long ago, the one house in the woods right here, the one roommate was legitimately like, please get this thing out of here. I cannot sleep, and I am sure this is a spirit. Please help. This thing has to go. It's loud. Things go missing. I'm constantly hearing footsteps when no one else is home. You know, some people just want to live their lives, you know? So we have another caller right here. They're trying it again. The last four digits are 5636. We're going to take a call right now. And let's see here. 5636 is loading up. Let's see if we can get this to work. Hello? Can you hear us?
Hello? Hey. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
There's a lot of like echo in the back. Is that on your end or my end?
That's definitely probably our end. The blog's
on. Oh, never mind. Okay, hold on. It's over now.
Maybe whatever he's listening to might be high.
Yeah, if you're listening.
I was listening on the browser too. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's
okay.
Right. I like to share a story.
Yeah, please do. What's your name?
My name is Mike.
All right, Mike. What do you got for us?
All right. There was once a man named Edward who was so ingeniously wealthy he designed and built his own perfect house. He lived in it for many years until he eventually passed away. A new family soon came to live in the house, but whenever they went in the basement where Edward's personal study had been, they would get the feeling that someone was watching them. One day, the father of the new family decided to fix up one of his old jackets, which every tailor in town had told him was beyond repair. So, he went down to the old study, lay his jacket in a chair, then tried to see if there was anything in the old desk that could help him mend it. But the drawers were all locked and he couldn't find the key anywhere. Next morning, he came back down to find the key in his asshole. It hurt so much, but the blood was everywhere, and he couldn't bear it. There was shit on the floor, and he didn't know how to respond. He kind of liked the feeling of the key in his asshole, so he kept sticking it in there. In and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. The key felt so good.
Was this a personal story, or?
Yeah.
That's funny.
An ego story.
Yeah. Oh, hey, listen. I didn't put a. I
like
didn't
that.
Say if it had to be true. It's a good story. It's a great story.
Well, it's my story.
Good for a closing.
Yeah, it was great for our closing. Closing story. The last car we have.
Yeah, my name is Mike. It's Edward. That was me.
Yeah, you're Edward. Well, thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem.
Take care.
Hey.
That's fucking people. That's funny.
Alrighty.
Ghost stories can happen in any particular fashion or way. This guy seemed to. Thanks, Edward.
I'll never look at keys ever again the same.
No, I have a similar story from jail like that. It wasn't me, it was somebody else. It wasn't me.
Not pleasant.
All right, that about wraps it up for tonight. On that note.
Oh, man. Where's Charlie when we need
him?
That
was fun. Some guy just sitting at home all by himself, bored. All right, so good for him. Hey, listen, you found something new you like, so keep doing it. Just be careful of the sharp edges.
there's funny ghost stories and there's scary ones.
Yeah, but, yeah,
and then there's just real cool ones.
Mhm. So, what are we gonna end with? What do you got?
So,
what's going on?
What do we have coming up? So this Friday we have our financial abundance hypnosis workshop, and we're looking forward to that. So anybody out there who's listening who would like to increase their finances and release some of your blocks, it's this workshop's available in person or recorded. So if you can't make the workshop, but you're in another part of the country, or even in our state and you just can't get there and you're interested, you can sign up for the recorded one. And about a day or two after the actual workshop, you'll receive the entire workshop, the link to the whole thing. So you'll see, as if you were there. You know, you'll have the in live, you'll be able to watch it. You'll have the discussion, you know, that we have beforehand and the actual hypnosis. And then you can, it's recorded, so you can play it again and keep using it as the people who are in person will be recording theirs too. So if you're interested in that, both of those options are up on our website at trinitymetaphysicalcenter.com. And next week we have, it's already Bring a Friend.
Next week it is,
next Friday.
Already.
We have a lot going on this month. Bring a Friend next Friday.
It's always a busy month.
We have our public ghost hunt on the 18th, which is, I believe it's completely full now. But if you try to go on and sign up and you can't, that's why. Because it's probably the highest number we've had.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like our eighth year, but it was like almost completely full before the end of September already. So within the first 3 weeks. So, and then, and we're getting up into Halloween and we have a couple of ghost hunts coming up. So we have a lot. October is a busy month. It's our favorite one.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's paranormal.
That's right.
So, all cool stuff.
Yeah. Very cool.
So all good. I think that's pretty much everything we have. I mean, I kind of skimmed through it. I mean, I'll talk more about Bring a Friend next week, but right now the next upcoming thing is the hypnosis workshop.
Yep.
So, and then hopefully we'll hear from Dana soon because we haven't heard from her. So maybe her phone just died or something and she couldn't get. She was in the city today, so she was going to be here in person, but
things happen. I'm sure she's fine. I'm sure we'll hear from her.
It was a busy day for her. So
All right. Well, so on that note, I guess we'll say our goodbyes with just 2 minutes to go.
Yep. And if you have any stories that you weren't able to share tonight because nobody was able to get through until the very end there,
I know we had a
call at the beginning of next week.
This little thing we're experiencing issues pops up every time someone tries to call in. And it's been popping up a lot. So we definitely had a few people waiting in line, but it's okay. Call in next time. We'll listen to you. So, all right.
Wait, thanks everybody for listening.
Yep,
and sorry it took us. We were running a little bit late.
Yeah.
Technical.
We figured it out though. We didn't give up.
Yep.
15 minutes late is better than not at all.
Yeah.
But all right. Thank you for everything.
All right, everybody. Have a good night.
We will talk to you next week.
Goodbye from Jackie.
Bye from Rodney.